Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Teachers University never said, so Jamie, what do you remember from last week? Could you just say in front of the class? So there was a thing and he was a thing.
Here with Kamigawa Neon Dynasty Part 2. Welcome back, everybody. This is Kamigawa Part 4, technically, but Neon Dynasty specifically Part 2. If you guys haven't listened to Part 1 of Neon Dynasty, or if you guys wanted to listen to all the Kamigawa episodes, a link should be in the top of the description of this episode, so check that out if you guys haven't heard it. Also, if you guys wanted to get in touch with us, either to recommend a topic or just chat, check out the Discord link also in the description. I am your host, Ethan Palmer. With me, of course, as always, is Peter and Jamie. Hi, Peter and Jamie.
Hi.
That's, I'm Peter. That's Peter O'Donohue and James Z. Miller.
I don't know if that was the Price is Right theme, but
yeah,
Bob, I was going for it.
Bob Barker, have you ever listened to him recently? Because we were at like such a
I thought he was dead.
No, if you listen, ago. If you listen to, he's not alive. If you listen to his old,
listen to his recordings.
If you listen to the Price is Right, because it came in like it was usually daytime television when we were quite young, so yeah. I put it on, it just reminds me of like daytime naps so much. Yeah. And it's so comforting. Like these are sick days that we use, like listen to Bob Barker, right? So yeah. If you ever can't fall asleep now and you're around our age, then try Bob Barker. Old Price is Right.
The Zoomers will fall asleep to Drew Carey's voice someday.
Yeah.
When they're old. No, yeah, so what you're saying is no more mouth sounds ASMR. That's out. The new Twitch meta is just like a Bob Barker stream.
Yep. Speaking of listening to soothing voices and being homesick, you two are you got the COVID.
Sure did.
I sure did get COVID. Which I guess I didn't have it. I mean, I had it when we recorded last week's, but hadn't announced it yet. I was still sitting on that one.
You don't announce COVID until your first trimester, or else bad luck.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I guess in the same, it turns out 75% of COVID cases are actually, they don't carry to term. So that's why you don't tell people until after the first trimester. But I told the patrons, or more accurately, Jamie told the patrons last week that my wife and I are pregnant. So I will be busy, I guess, come the fall this year. We're looking to bank some episodes, but I figured I'd tell the rest of the listeners, for anybody who cares. And if you guys wanted to congratulate me, send us an email, contact@loreboys.com, or like I said before, head on over to the Discord and you can chat with us there. If you guys play Minecraft, the Minecraft server's been popping off since I got COVID and have been playing a lot of Minecraft.
Got a nice community going there. Community center built. We've got like plenty of resources to share. Lots of stuff set up to get people going. And come make a house. Join us. Yeah.
We have all the fixins for an Ender Dragon fight. Thanks to Terry and Duke on the server. And I mean, we're going to be scheduling probably a server event at some point where we'll all go to the end and kill a big old Ender Dragon. Bunch of Endermen watching. Like the cucks that they are. But this isn't Minecraft lore.
That's why they're always holding that one block just to hide their pathetic little boner.
It's their dirt block that they steal from the hill next to your house is actually a chastity cage that they've fixed to their junk.
Jesus Christ.
So we're talking Neon Dynasty. I guess as usual, it's quiz time. So get your pencils ready. The bell has rung, fellas. What do you remember about? I guess hit me with it. Hit me with any. Hit me with magic. Hit me with Kamigawa. Hit me with Neon Dynasty. Then if one of you remembers the name of the protagonist, just first name, I'll give you some bonus. So what do we got?
So I remember at the beginning we were like talking about all the different colored dragons, and there's like a sacred forest and stuff, and then like a big old egg with a different type of fractally dragon that was inside it, and then there was our main boy that we talked about the last time who liked to run across rooftops, and he was an orphan, but he was adopted by the king or whatever, or he was like the sword fighting for like the prince or princess, and then like she gets kidnapped by some like crazy future ass shit, and it's like that was probably foreshadowing for this time or next time on Kamigawa, because we get to it was like the guy with magic, he had like lightning magic or something, or
yeah, he had like pink and purple magic like Brazil's money, kind of just like swirling around him, and he had a there's a very specific Simpsons reference, Pete, I'm glad you got it. He had an all chrome arm, which even in the futuristic capitalist hellhole that is Kamigawa, seems too futuristic. This guy's chrome arm.
Right.
Pete, was there anything you wanted to add?
I remember they also had developed some kind of technology, I think, that had could transfer kami, which are like spirits and demons, into like robotic bodies, and super powerful one got transferred into a robotic raccoon,
so it didn't get transferred into, so that was the end of the last episode, the end of the Neon Dynasty episode, where our protagonist Kaito Shizuki had been looking for a guy named Tameshi on the behalf.
His name's Kaito.
Bonus points for Jamie.
Yes.
Boom, got him.
Got it in.
Yeah, but what's his last name, Jamie? Because I remember it.
Fuck.
I just said it.
It was Tameshi.
What's that?
I said it was Tameshi. Isn't that what you said?
Tameshi was... No, Tameshi was the guy that he was going after.
I wasn't paying attention.
Shiburi.
Shizuki. Suzuki, but
like
Shizuki.
The four-wheeler or like the Nature David. Of Things guy on CBC.
Yeah, like exactly. Shaven Shizuki.
Exactly. Kaito and his sister Aiko, their parents had died because they had been irradiated in a lab accident. And
the Furies, of course. I remember the comparison to the loving radiation couple.
Yeah, his father had like taken like black market technology, which maybe could have saved them, but he got arrested for buying stuff on the black market and died in prison shortly after his wife did. So Kaito and Aiko grew up in Iganjo Castle, the seat of imperial power, where they were trained by a
seat of imperial power. Oh no, it's not. It was almost simp.
seat of imperial power. Seat of apostrophe imperial power.
That does kind of read like in my head as one of those like Bugs Bunny wearing a tuxedo memes where it's just like I wish everybody a very very special whatever, and it's completely like out of context. It's just like, yeah, baby, I'm a simp. Seat of imperial power.
So they grew up there. Eventually Kaito became, you know, the sparring partner of the emperor, who was attacked by the chrome armed man that Jamie referenced.
Yes.
Kaito chased him, couldn't catch him. Kaito's been looking for the emperor ever since. They got to be somewhere on Kamigawa. Their body was never found, so I'm gonna find him someday. Has been searching around, ended up in the Undercity, a little disillusioned with the Imperials, and was working for a guy named Satoru, who sent him to find Tameshi, who he said had some sort of technology which he wanted to find. They were in the Bosaiju district, the forest district. Do you remember? I showed you guys the west and east deacons there.
Giant tree that grows above the entire city as well.
It was kind of like a Goodfellas situation where they took like the young buck and they made him kind of grow into the crime family, and he's like a really good thief and stuff. And
Exactly.
That movie's about.
No, but I remember there's like they start that guy Ray Liotta who died. Right, he's from a young age. They kind of bred him into the.
They start off
when he's a little kid, and then
into a wise guy.
Yeah, exactly. They start you young, and they have the tattoo or whatever, which like if you betray Satoru, it kills you essentially. They put like a kill switch on their gangsters, but they have like a they're like, well, no tattoo artist will tattoo anybody under 18. So since you're younger than 18, there's nothing we could do about it, kind of thing.
Rules is rules, you know.
Yeah, exactly. For us, the mob.
So they
had sent him to find Tameshi. He found Tameshi, who had the little Tanuki robot, and said he had developed a technology to merge Kami with technology.
Right.
When the Kami showed up, the one that that Aiko had seen the night that the Emperor was taken, who was the Kami of the bond between the Emperor and Kyodai, the greatest Kami of all, essentially, the one who came from the great Kami. The great serpent Okagachi. That one showed up, and that's where we ended the last episode. Was like they basically made eye contact. So
Which was the coolest fucking thing? Because you're like, where did this guy come from? Why is he all futuristic? What's the pink and purple magic that we haven't seen before?
What is all that pink and purple magic?
And there's so many loose ends that we left on. So I guess that's where we can call it for today, right?
Yep, exactly. It's been a recap episode of last week's episode, so go listen to it again. You'll hear everything we just told you.
Yeah, Ethan and I are kind of sick, so we're just going to phone this one in, really.
Exactly.
I phone it in every week, so we're good.
We're not going to stop the recording, though. We're going to just let it play radio silence, because it's better for the advertisers if we have a longer episode, and we can put the mid-roll and the end-roll. So make sure to stay tuned for the next hour and a half while...
It's like the time I forgot to hit stop on the recording and I ordered and ate a whole pizza after an episode.
Release the tapes, Jamie. God damn it. Release the tape.
I love that so much.
The people have a right to know.
Unfortunately, I was listening to other podcasts, so it drowned out my sweet ASMR eating sounds. But
We can't release them because we'll get DMCA'd. So.
Okay, so
let's jump into Neon Dynasty Part 2. I guess my quick written precum here says we left our protagonist, one Kaito Shizuki, stumbling upon what he thought was his long-lost childhood friend, the Emperor, who had vanished from Iganjo Castle after an attack from an unnamed and unknown man with strange technology and a chrome arm. Instead of the Emperor of the Plane, he found a Kami, the small spirit of a big bald raccoon. Kaito had come to the forest to steal the technology of a scholar known as Tameshi, and after scrapping, had run off to chase the call of the Kami. Looking at the small, defenseless spirit as it stood before him and released another quieter call, Kaito remembered Tameshi saying that the Kami of the bond between the Emperor and Kyodai.
A little Shinuki.
Yeah. Shizuki Shinuki. My Tanuki. DMCA. Sorry. for anyone listening, that wasn't actually the. Who sings that? I know this.
It's Paul.
The Gabagools. We both know this. Yeah. I feel like we're getting Mandalorian effect.
Right. Oh, Mandela effect. Yeah. Mandalorian effect.
It turns all your Yodas into baby Yodas.
It's like a spinoff of movies that we barely watch that you have definitely never seen, Ethan.
I mean the Mandela effect is that when somebody believes that his name was actually Nelson Mandalorian. No?
It was legally
changed in prison.
It was the PS4 game The Knack that does my Sharona.
Gotcha.
Yeah, The Knack. My Sharona taught me how to easily identify what an octave sounds like in an interval in music. Dum 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 dum. It's the same note, but one octave.
One note, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So while Mr. The Knack, Mr. Kaito The Knack Shizuki, was observing the strange creature. There came a whirring sound from above them. Another tanuki appeared, though this one presumably had metal balls. It was Tameshi's robot, the one that Kaito had been sent to steal, which Tameshi had designed to house the soul of Akami, and the robot landed next to its spiritual part.
Okay.
Metal. That's how Isaac Newton figured out, like, equal and opposite force. He's just, like, playing with Tanuki's balls, going back and
forth. Balls.
Playing with his Tanuki drone back in the 17th century, and noticed the huge balls on it, and said,
Well, that's why we call that thing, on the, you know, like the thing that's just on an executive desk, that's a Newton scrotum, is like
Sorry, I'm trying to picture what the sound would be like if there's a thin layer of skin around the balls before they hit together. The, like, muted tinks, you know? Well,
whenever we finally do get that P.O. box, I expect somebody to send us a skin-covered Newton's cradle.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been an easy decision for Kaito to side with Tameshi instead of his employer. His employer, if you'll recall, was one Satoru Umezawa, leader of the Hyozen Reckoners, and probably one of the most dangerous people on the plane, undercity crime boss, you know, not somebody that you typically want to betray. So, you know, he's like, well, there's the thing that I came here to steal, standing next to this other weird kami. As Kaito watched, however, the robot beeped, and the kami chirped in response. As Tameshi and Kaito's sister Aiko returned, Kaito knew he had to protect this creature, and that likely meant using Tameshi's tech rather than returning it to Satoru. So he has this kind of, like, I guess, like, spiritual moment, if you'll forgive the pun, with the spirit that's visited him here in the forest, and realizes, like, oh, he's so cute. I can't, you know, I'm just going to stick with you, buddy.
He's got little hands.
Mm-hmm. He's got little opposable thumbs to put his cotton candy in the water.
Yeah, I was gonna say he dips his balls in the water and they just evaporate in front of him. He's just, like, around for them.
He sinks to the bottom because they're made out of metal. Pete just coughed into a rag like a fancy
he's
lady.
Been doing it all day.
He's got the consumption. I put it in the washer and the dryer. I have been afflicted with the consumption, as you may have noticed. But yeah, I've been coughing into a Jameson whiskey rag for the past couple of days.
Oh, good.
And I hauled it out of the dryer for the show because I'm gonna cough and it's gonna sneak up on me and I don't want to do it straight into the mic. So
Yeah.
So
good thing I'm here to point it out and sidetrack this.
Wilton, I do declare, Mr. Palmer, this story of raccoons has gotten me.
tell it again about them big balls, would you?
The second I get sick, I turn into a son of a gentleman. I just can't fucking help.
That is definitely true. Okay, I got a quote from you guys. It's from Akemi Don Bowman's The Path Forward. One of the main inspirations for this story, or one of the main sources, I guess I should say, rather than inspiration. I'm not making up a story based on inspiration. I'm just telling you guys the story of Akemi Don Bowman's The Path Forward.
All right.
So Kaito tried to imagine a Kamigawa where spirits ran around with armor and blades like miniature mech, spirits that could be controlled by people like Satoru. The thought was unsettling. That isn't the purpose of my research, Tameshi said, firm. The design isn't about controlling the Kami, it's about keeping them safe. Safe from what? Aiko demanded. Tameshi's jaw hardened. From whatever is on the other side of the merge gate.
Okay.
So it turns out Tameshi is not only interested in studying the Kami and the merge, things that we knew about him, but also what's on the other side of the merge. So the spirit realm, as far as we can kind of tell, the merge and the merge gates, if you guys will recall, are these places that appear where it seems like the two worlds, which were once separate, the material world and the spirit world, are slowly overlapping, kind of like a Venn diagram that's just getting, you know, a bigger and bigger centerpiece. Right. And there's certain points where, like, reality is getting bent, where they're, like, kind of hitting each other with, like, fourth dimensional vertices or whatever. And those places are forming these merges that the people of Kamigawa have developed the technology to build gates around, so that Kami can kind of wander through, but they cannot go back typically once they're through. This is the first hint that I've got that, like, oh, the reason they can't go back is because, like, dangerous for them, or they'll just die if they go back. Whereas before I was just like, oh, it's like they just physically can't. But Temeshi seems to think if he gives them, like, an astronaut suit, he can shoot them into space, no problem.
Okay, cool.
Interesting, yeah.
It's the re-entry that's always the problem, right? Like, they've just got, like, it's the 1960s on the other side, and they're just sending guys out. It's they're sending all their monkeys and capsules out, but it's really the once the Kami crashes into the ocean, it's so hard to get to.
Exactly, yeah. Fellow Americans, I promise you that by the end of the decade, we will put a raccoon's balls on the moon.
Once you go rack, you don't go back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Aiko, Kaito's sister, and Temeshi find themselves at odds. Aiko, if you guys will remember, is still an Imperial. She never left the castle with her brother. She's training to be a Kami diplomat. She fully believes that the Imperials who put the brakes on technology and, you know, believe in control and, you know, keeping everything regulated, I guess. She fully believes that they are the moral high ground, the moral superiority. Whereas Temeshi is a futurist who believes, like, we got to deregulate all technology so that people can figure stuff out. Like, progress at any cost has got to be worth it. Like,
right.
The leap forward that we make will make up for the pitfall, essentially. Yeah. Our boy Kaito, you guys will remember, is kind of the perfect analogy of somebody on the fence. He was an Imperial, grew up an Imperial in a lot of ways, but then also kind of came to a realization when he had a conversation with a futurist whose parents also died in a freak accident and maybe could have been saved by black market technology.
Was that the Zenyatta dude that he met?
His name wasn't Zenyatta, but
no, but he had like cross-legged floaty guy. Like,
yeah, exactly. He was a sorry, my brain's not working right now. But he's the same type of person as Temeshi, same type of person as Tamio, who we also talked about on the Innistrad episode. Okay. They're moon folk, and they can fly, and they live in a city in the sky in Kamigawa.
Yeah, I remember they lived in a flying city or something where were just like, well, technology's gone too far. Maybe we should just kind of pump the brakes and stop it here.
It seems like most of the futurists are like the opposite. They're like, the technology hasn't gone far enough. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. My brain is also broken.
It's where Minamo Academy was back in the day. It probably still is. Honestly, it's probably still called Minamo Academy, but it's like the intellectual, the academics, like the, hey, you know, like, it's all a thought experiment. Like, it's not real people's lives at stake kind of thing. Again, there's probably like an actual moral high ground to boast. Whereas Kaito, like, left the Imperials because he was like, he did believe in some futurist principles or whatever, but he's not fully a futurist either. And he's obviously still loyal to his sister, who's here, arguing with this guy about the moral implications of trapping Kami in metal bodies and hurtling them through an unknown void, the dangerous great beyond, right?
Yes. Right.
Well, at least they've moved past just like tying a rope around their waist and seeing if it goes limp after pushing them back through the gate, right?
Yeah, exactly. See if it just turns to, oh my god, I turned the Kami into a burnt and frayed end of a rope. Can you believe it?
What an interesting chemical reaction. Yeah.
Jot that down. So yeah, feel how you will about either side, I guess. Like, take your pick. There's some allegories to modern life. I sent you guys a pictures to our chat, or a picture, excuse me. This picture is called Essence Capture. Near as I can tell, this seems to be the tech. And again, this is we're kind of in media res right now, where this isn't like where the set that's released and the artwork, not necessarily all of it takes place right now, but it's probably like 10, 15, 20 years in the future from where we are right now.
Okay.
So this card, near as I could tell, which it has art by, oh, I forgot to put the artist down, has art by somebody. Oh, Campbell White. I put it in a weirder spot than usual. So card's called Essence Capture. It's by Campbell White. And this is the flavor text on the card. The futurists regard the tradition of Kami bonding as anachronistic and inefficient, striving constantly to surpass spiritual power with technology. So regardless of whatever, like, whoever Temeshi becomes, it does seem like his technology does get released at some point. Do you guys want to take a crack at describing what we're looking at here?
Yeah. So there's someone, there's a face looking into, they're like holding what looks like a helmet, and they're looking into a helmet that has like a glass visor that you can see through where the face would normally be. And it looks like a being made out of fire that kind of reminds me of a neuron. Like, have you ever seen a neuron, like for a close up in your brain where it has like that central point and then kind of like these arms reaching out looking to make connections elsewhere. And it looks like it's plugged into two receptacles on the helmet while also kind of reaching out, growing, looking for other places to grab onto.
Yeah, it's got like two, the inside, because I thought it does look kind of like Doomguy's helmet, but like with way more glass, like a way bigger visor. But I guess it's like some kind of container. The thing that the fire spirit looks like it's plugged into look like two very, very kind of like Asian styled medallions. And the little fire monster on the inside has like a bunch of different like shackles and cuffs and stuff. And like, I don't know if I'm just like, if this is like the, because humans see faces and everything, it does look like there's like a screaming little face in the middle.
It definitely has eyes. Its eyes are like looking at one of its arms, which is like trapped.
Kind of
looking to the left with like its mouth underneath, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a screaming little fire sprite with a bunch of limbs being, sucked through, I guess, a grate at this point.
Pinned to, at least. I don't know. It looks distressed, I think it's fair to say. The tiny little commie in there, but...
Yeah. Displeased. He looks like he's well on his way to being just a frayed and burnt end of a rope at this point.
What do they use this guy for? Like, cook a can of beans? Like...
Yeah.
It's the microwave.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you imagine you're just like some kind of moon folk hungover as shit, right? And you're just trying to microwave something, and you have to plug in a screaming little monster into the side. It's just like, how fucking horrible that would be.
That's like one of the what ifs. I can't remember what the one half of it is, but the one is like, would you rather this or this? One of them is every time when you come, it's a giant sperm cell that runs away. You'd have to kill, like,
why do I have to kill it?
Well, you could let it go, but then everybody knows you're just letting your cum monsters run around, you know. But
what, does it have a name tag?
Yeah.
I think that the socially responsible thing to do if you dispose of it, you wouldn't want all these half living things running around.
I would just drive out to the woods and beat off there.
What if you had to have a kid every time you orgasmed? That would be like a big deal.
Yeah, that would. We never would have made it this far, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
No.
Society. Society. Am I right, gamers?
Yeah.
Making me have a kid every time I come.
It would be, but that one time you were able to do it and like really felt, it would be pretty great, wouldn't it?
It'd be a big kaboom, yeah.
Yeah, you'd probably like go weak at the knees and then you'd have to catch that thing afterwards. Hey, get over here.
This reminds me of Marvin the Martian. Like, where's the kaboom?
Okay, so cami bonding, as a reminder for you guys and the listeners, is what Iko had been training to do in some regards. It's probably what Iko had been like aspiring to do. Not every kami diplomat gets to bond with one. But people who really kind of impart their personality on a kami will sometimes get to bond with it. You guys will remember Satoru's Umezawa's ancestor Toshiro had bonded with the Myojin of Night's Reach to be able to teleport into the castle and steal the disc which contained the soul of Okagachi. Listen to our first Kamigawa episode. Basically, some like channelers, they're called, are able to bond to a kami and then channel its power. Essentially, you know, a lot of kami diplomat or some kami diplomats will be able to earn enough trust and mutual respect with a kami in order to use their power for whatever they both kind of see fit.
Right.
Likewise, some evil people will bond with evil kami. Those are just the more powerful magic users in Kamigawa, essentially, are the ones who are able to bind with a kami.
Okay.
So Iko and Tameshi are arguing in the forest, and Kaito is just sitting there conflicting with himself, you know, whether or not to kill his giant sperm baby or not. While that's happening, they are attacked by Hyozen Reckoner. So the gang that Kaito was working for basically pops out of the bushes. They're spies. They were sent by Satoru to follow Kaito and confirm whether or not he was actually loyal. You know, he's the text right there. He's not stealing it, kind of thing. Also, they probably want the credit for stealing it themselves because they're all liars, cheats, and thieves, right? So
yeah,
who knows how it would have shaken out no matter what. They basically give him the spiel like, oh, you know, like, yeah, he never Satoru never trusted you, but knew that, you know, he never doubted your ability. So he knew you'd find Temeshi at the very least. And as long as we followed you, we'd be led here. Basically,
whether think or not he actually didn't want to give someone under 18 a tattoo, well, that's fucking ridiculous. Why would you just believe the rules matter all of a sudden?
So yeah, they pop out of the bushes. They you know, the Reckoners get even more than just seeing him not steal the robot, because they overheard him and his sister chatting about how he used to be training to be a samurai. You know, they're like, you know, here you are standing with an Imperial. You know, clearly fraternizing with the who we'd consider the enemy. Kind of the ironic twist, the Shakespearean twist, I guess, is that like Kaido came here fully expecting to steal Temeshi's tech. Like he was pretty on board to do what it took, kind of thing.
Yeah,
he had left Iganjo Castle because he was disillusioned with the way the Imperials ran things and didn't believe in like the Imperial way of life, kind of thing. Obviously a bunch of like murderous thugs aren't going to be the most sympathetic ear, especially in that kind of moment. So, it doesn't go well, I guess, him trying to talk his way out of it. They're led, the leader of the small group of bandits, is a woman known as Nari. She's a powerful woman and she's a powerful channeler. She's someone who had bonded with a kami. Her kami in particular is known as Azamaki, the kami of treachery incarnate. So probably never going to get her to not betray you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the anti Rick Astley, who's only ever going to give you up, you know?
Stupid.
thank you.
Only gonna give you up, only let you down, only gonna you just change never to only, and it works. Yeah,
it works. Yeah, yeah. same number of syllables. That's the key to music, is only use one note octaves apart, and same number of syllables for all your words.
Yeah, refer to Rick Astley and the Knack for all of your music theory.
So Nari believed that merging with her kami gave her prophetic visions, as well as some other magical abilities, like the ability to emit black smoke like fog. So she's clearly pretty powerful, you know what I mean?
Pretty cool, yeah.
She's standing there.
I can see into the future every time I'm about to betray someone. What?
I know every betrayal before it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're committed by me. And yeah, so she's just standing there, just shedding black smoke, basically, being all intimidating. One of the villains, one of the thugs, grabs Aiko, Kaido's sister. Though Temeshi is more concerned with the kami, Temeshi tries to defuse the situation. He's a stranger. He, like, if you guys will remember from the end of the last episode, him and Kaito were literally fighting, and Kaito was trying to kill him, and he was trying to kill Kaito. When the kami emerged, or Aiko like made them stop for a second, then the kami emerged, so they like kind of settled their differences for a second, but they're not like buddy buddy yet or anything. And now like Aiko and Temeshi have been arguing, and Kaito's just been kind of standing there listening to them argue. But Temeshi, to his benefit, is like, let everybody else go. If you guys let Aiko and Kaito go with the kami, I'll take you guys to my lab. I'll show you all my schematics. You know, you guys can have the tech that you want. Okay. He's willing to do that for them.
Wow, that's nice. Even Dexter didn't let his own sister in his laboratory, but this guy's gonna bring in a stranger.
Temeshi.
Kaito, guess what I'm gonna be?
Yeah, Temeshi was smart enough to know that it's an omelette au fromage.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So the bandits have Aiko. Temeshi tries to defuse the situation. The bandits are like, we literally have you guys 12 to 3. We've got her in a chokehold. We're going to kill everybody here, and you're still going to take us. So, you know, treachery strikes. What can I say, you know?
Yeah.
So
wreathed in black fog, can't be trusted.
Yeah. She's just so unreasonable, man. You know? Probably in her period. That's probably where all the black smoke's coming from. You know what I mean? My right, gamers?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. You're married. I'll trust you on this women stuff. So sounds right to me, man. Yeah.
So a melee breaks out. Aiko and Kaito. Aiko also was trained by Lightpaws, the samurai trainer for a long time. So she's a competent swords fighter as well.
Oh, the Mitsune or whatever.
The Kitsune. Yeah, exactly. Their mentor, their only real father figure, I guess, growing up. So they managed to hold off a good chunk of them for a while. Temeshi goes for the Kami and is just like, you know, the picture of the Shiba Inu with the two little Shiba Inu toys, and it's like pushing them together on a tabletop. He's just like, he's got the Tanuki robot, he's got the Tanuki spirit, and he's just basically like, now, okay, kiss. Come on, merge, would you? The Kami's refusing. It's like, dude, I'm not getting in that thing. That's so cringe that you made a sex doll of me, dude. Like, I don't want anything to do with it. So meanwhile, Aiko and Kaito are just like just sword fighting while he's like trying to do science in the back, you know. Things are starting to look dire, but just as they are, there's a roar which bellows through the trees. The Order of Jukai, the protectors of Bosaiju District and all things Kami, had arrived. So the people who are kind of sworn to maintaining the Kami way of life and living with the trees, the naturalists, the green pieces here, basically, to stop the eco-terrorists.
Okay. They're here to glue themselves to the Kami robot suit and just be stop, Kami, Kami.
So they see a bunch of Kyos and Reckoners who they don't really like fighting in their peaceful Kami glade, goddammit. So the two factions charge each other, the Kyos and Reckoners and the Order of Jukai. The trio, Kaito, Aiko, and Temeshi, take the opportunity. They're like, cool, they seem busy. Let's mosey on out of here. Kaito grabs the Kami, who didn't seem to want to cooperate with Temeshi or Aiko, and they tear off into the forest. Okay. They ran through the forest when suddenly there was a juddering rumble from the ground, freezing them in their track. I got another quote for you guys. A Kami exploded from the river, and the entire forest seemed to shudder in response. With an ear-splitting cry, the spirit tore past the trees, felling one of them with a mere slice of its bone-like arm. It moved in erratic bursts, long limbs stretched out like it was searching by touch. Two orbs of unnatural green light glowed from a delicate stone face, but the carved smile it wore didn't match the anger radiating from its core. Frail as a skeleton, it had enough arms and legs to rival an insect, with heavy black cobwebs that fell over its crooked shape like a veil. Silk thread trailed from one of its bony fingers, fixed to a paper lantern that swayed in front of its chest like a pendulum. Whoa. Emerging from the nearby stream was Gravelighter, the Kami of Forgotten Clearing. But more on that after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spooky, scary skeletons. Shivers down your spine.
Doot, my friends. The Kaito crew has been ambushed by the Kami of Forgotten Clearing. Your dudes are.
And this is the Kami of getting enough calcium in your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Forgotten Clearing. Forgotten Clearing. That's it.
Forgotten Clearings. Yeah. Clear. I sent you guys a picture so you can take a look at what the crew is being confronted with, and what Aiko decides. You know what? Diplomacy. I might just be a junior diplomat, but I'm gonna do my best. She puts on her hall monitor sash and is basically walking up to this thing. You guys wanna describe it?
I'd like to describe what I imagined and then describe the actual thing itself, because it really does go between like my imagination of Western art and then the actual kind of much more Japanese art here. Because you had described a very spooky skeleton with like a stone mask with a smile carved into it.
Mm-hmm.
It has the tiny little painted on red lips of like a Japanese lady, which obviously I would not have imagined. The veil is the same, although I imagined it being more made of spider webs. It's very much like kind of like a sheer black veil.
Mm-hmm.
Bone hands, all the same. But the funny thing is, I imagined a square lantern as a filthy gaijin, whereas this one has a round lantern.
Round and
I imagine an orange glow opposed to a spooky green glow.
I think I did say green, unnatural green light glowed from a delicate stone face.
That's I put it in the eyes.
I pictured it as a man, to be honest. Not one of these.
Wow, dude. Wow, you are getting you are canceled, man.
When I think gender a skeleton without seeing the hip bones, without seeing the pelvis, it's the only way you can fucking tell.
Yeah, when I think of skeletons, when I think of doctors, engineers, I don't know why.
Pilots, to be safe. Let's be real.
Very spooky, though.
Yeah, and she's got like spider webs, but they're like they seem to be making like butterflies in the air. I don't know.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
She's spooky, yeah.
That's playing Monster Hunter Rise, there is like a very wedding veil looking spider monster called Rakna Kadaki. So I think spider ladies just seem to be a Japanese.
Say that 10 times or 5 times.
Love that Kid Rock song.
Rakna Kadaki?
Yeah.
Rakna Kadaki.
Diggy diggy.
Rakna Kadaki bombed a bomb diggy too. I like that.
Aiko steals her courage, sees this thing. It's like, again, it's got a smile on, but it does seem to be like radiating some like unseeable rage, which they can all kind of feel, you know. Oh my god, its aura is so Sagittarius right now.
she's putting on a strong face. It's carved in stone, but like the unnatural green glow gives away her true feelings.
Yeah,
I saw I read the Green Gatsby. She has a green lantern because she's envious.
Oh, there you go. So
the
before
Green Gatsby,
that's the Green Gatsby. That's the one with the guy with the magic powers who's in jail, right? With Tom Hanks and
Will it hurt balls? Will it hurt balls when I'm torn up with envy over the love of my life being with another man?
Yeah, when they shoot Tom Hanks in the pool.
The Green Gatsby Mile.
Yeah.
And other Frank Darabont films.
So Aiko's like, hey, I'm gonna diplomat the shit out of this, you know what I mean? Before we can learn whether or not it works, Kaido basically steps up. He mends his way into the conversation. Is like, please, Aiko, let the men handle this. The kami does not like that. There is this like scene where like Aiko walks right up to it, and it's like the kami like approaches her and is like sizing her up, and it's like got this like gaped open jaw essentially. And Kaido takes that as like, it's gonna kill my sister. I gotta run in there and save her. Basically, she's a woman. She doesn't know how to defend herself, even though she's the only one here with a sword. The kami is like, oh shit, fast movement, don't like that, now I am gonna kill your sister. Luckily though, we've got Magic Tanuki on our side, who jumps in to defend.
He uses his steel balls to stop her blow, you know.
Yeah. it's biting down. The kami's biting down with its massive mouth full of sharp teeth, but can't bite through the rock hard balls of this tanuki.
Yeah, you could crack a tooth on them tanuki balls. Yeah.
Okay, so the tanuki Mr. President's basically just like get down sort of thing? Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Beautiful.
He gets shot in the nut. The smaller kami distracts Gravelighter while Temeshi takes Aiko to safety. So Temeshi flies in, swoops in, whoop, grabs Aiko, flies off. Kaido sees, you know, Jamie, the analogy for you is like you're on a walk on a trail and a grizzly bear comes out and Ice is like, don't worry, I'll buy us time kind of thing.
I hope that never happens.
Kaito's like, I'm not leaving my dog to fight a bear on its own. So he jumps in, he like dives in, he's like waiting there, like assessing the fight where the, you know, you guys have seen the Kami of Forgotten Clearings, who's like very green and black. The Tanuki is golden, so he's like, he's looking for the flashes of gold amidst this much larger Kami. Sees his opportunity, dives in, rolls out, realizes I can't outrun a Kami, so I guess I'll just wait here to die. So he's basically like, he's got the Kami in his arms and he's like got his back to the creature. He's like trying to protect the Tanuki. In response, the Tanuki remembers that it's in charge around here and just commands Gravelighter to return to its river and leave them alone. It issues a sound, which Kaito recognizes as a command. He's like, oh, shit. It's like, it's bossing him around. You know what I mean? And Gravelighter's like, oh, shit. Sorry, didn't realize who you were. Didn't realize you guys were with him. I'm just going to go. Okay. Don't mind me.
Stop out loud. And he's just like, I recognize that as a command.
Yeah. Exactly. So the group decides to be friends. After, you know, a bit of chatting, we find out that Temeshi was the one who had actually sent for the Order of Jukai in the first place. Originally, he'd done it because he had drones set up in the forest that saw Kaito and Aiko coming and was like, okay, they're coming for me. I'm going to call the Order of Jukai and I'm going to get out of here before these guys show up so that they'll get here and the cops will show up and the cops will be like, what are you doing? What are you guys doing in this restricted forest, basically? And you know, cite them.
Fucking narc, you bugged the forest?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like an entire beehive, like,
yeah.
He rotates the conspicuous camera lens.
he was trying to swat Kaito and Aiko, basically. So Temeshi leaves the siblings after a time. He's like, hey, like, you know what? This was great. Hit me up if you guys, you know, ever want to be friends, ever want to chill, let me know. If you guys ever need some technology, your boy. And then he's like, flies to the moon, basically.
He goes back to his home planet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, is that Frank Sinatra reference?
Yeah, he flew himself to the moon, then he laid himself upon the stars.
Okay.
No, he flew to the moon's, the sky city.
Cool.
The Minamo Academy.
Do you think they just throw their trash off the side of the city, by the way?
I mean, for sure. I mean, where's the sewage go? It's just like waterfalls of sewage, right?
Yeah,
off the end of the city.
Just one. If you could have it come down the middle, you could probably have like a sewage pool.
These are the deregulation folks, dude. They're not all agree on that. Like, it's my goddamn right. It's in the Constitution that I could throw my shit off the balcony. Okay.
Yeah.
I was protected by the founding fathers. All of you know. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the undercity, there's a lot of folks who profit off of this. Like, without us, we're creating jobs.
There's a whole class of shit covered street sweepers. You know what I mean? Like, we did that.
It really is trickle down from there.
So city of tears from Hollow Knight, but just piss and shit.
Piss and shit and cum, dude.
I was more thinking like trickle down is just like some rich asshole with like an absolutely fucking destroyed prostate. Like,
exactly.
Just can't pee.
He's lactose intolerant, but like all lactose intolerant people, they were never gonna let that stop them.
Oh right? Yeah, man. I mean, I powered through it, and it does go away.
Yeah. Doesn't. Yeah, a lot of people I know are like, yeah, I just drank enough milk and shit my brains out enough times that it stopped happening.
It's all over. Yeah.
So Temeshi leaves the siblings. They decide that Aiko should take the Kami, newly named Pompon.
Aww. So
Kaito's like, we're going to name him Pompon. And they say, Aiko, you should take them to Iganjo because Kyodai's there, the greatest Kami, right? The Kami of the Veil. They're like, Who better to watch over this thing than her, right? So classic Iron Giant, you stay, I go see Zeus, right. with Kaito being like, all right, go with her now. I'm going to walk off this way. except the creature doth protest to going with Aiko and actually tells Kaito, my name's not Pompon, my name is Himoto, before it promptly merges itself with the drone prototype that Temeshi had left behind. It's just like, my name's Moto. Actually, I do like the sex doll. I just didn't like him, so I'm gonna hop in now.
The guy who started bringing a drone to the dog park. And I found out that my dog, who is normally very lazy, wants to fucking kill a drone. Like, chases the drone around and like jumps up in the air, barks and cries, trying to kill it.
I am not surprised that Ice of all dogs wants to kill a drone. I would have been very surprised if Ice was just like, I thought that's where your story was going. I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, it turns out she doesn't fucking care about it at all. I would have been like, what? No, yeah, if I could chase it? No, yeah, she's killed enough small critters that drone, why not?
Yeah.
It whizzes, it moves fast, you know, it goes brrr, like, yeah. Absolutely. That's all Ice.
This one in
does
the story.
Does he have a camera on it, or is it just like, does he just like fuck around with it?
He has a camera on it, but he doesn't use it very much. He's a pretty good pilot with it, actually. He does it over the dog park, and it's never fallen into the dog. He lands it outside the dog park for safety.
Just on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing your side of town and the absolute cartoon characters that you encounter at that fucking dog park, that dude, the reason he can pilot that thing so well is because he's got a GoPro on it and he has just like that Peeping Tom stability. He can park it directly between the two branches of a very dense tree to get exactly what he needs off the fourth floor of some fucking building.
There's so many weirdos there. Yeah, there's a guy today who is going off. He's like, I'm not racist. I hate everyone equally. And then told a bunch of racist jokes. He's like, jokes aren't funny unless someone's getting offended.
Classic. Cool, dude. Cool guy.
Cool, dude.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the border of our town is that goes from regular to crazy. Because, like, I don't encounter a lot of insane people 5 minutes away from you.
You're Pete and Jamie live on the same.
Without saying too much. Too much.
They live in the same hood, but Pete lives much closer to the metro line, which is, I just think, like, Pete's more like the New York style of city person who's just like, hey, I'm fucking busy, dude. I got places to be. Like, it's a much busier part of town where Pete is, even though you guys are in the same
hood. I also just talk. I'm willing to listen to just about anyone.
Jamie does attract the crazies, too.
I don't have a dog, and I don't like to cause trouble, but I've seen Jamie cause a lot of trouble.
Cool. You guys want another excerpt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kaido stood to face his sister, whose mouth was parted in fear. To Messi's research, she tried to stop it, tried to make sure it would never fall into the wrong hand. And now the very proof of it was sitting on Kaido's shoulders like a beloved pet. The Tanuki robot shifted once more and drifted into Kaito's hands. When he turned it over, he realized that it had morphed into a mask. Smoking.
Kaito turned to his sister and said, "Somebody stop me!" And then turned into a tornado in a zoot suit and went to cause havoc for one evening.
I quote that all the time whenever I'm getting like ready to go for a walk. The dog's all excited. I'll be like, "No, I said the keys, not the cheese." And she's all bark at me because he got his dog to go get the keys or whatever, but he brought cheese. The Mask, man, that's an old movie.
That's an old movie.
I feel like he's fucking great.
Yeah. For the Zoomers, it's, what's Jim that Carrey. Guy in Sonic?
Jim Carrey.
No, the character he plays, though.
Dr. Robotnik.
It's Dr. Robotnik, but a long time ago. Reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tanuki robot shifted once more and drifted into Kaido's hands. When he turned it over, he realized that it had morphed into a mask. He stared at the smooth edges and origami cutouts, wondering if a connection to the Emperor really did live inside Himoto, and if choosing to stay with Kaito meant anything at all. When he placed the Tanuki mask over his face, he felt it immediately. Energy thrummed in his core all the way to his fingertips. It was like static and magic and power begging to be released, begging for Kaito to let it go. Somewhere behind him, Aiko was calling his name, shouting with desperate, terrified breath. But Kaito couldn't answer her. Something was pulling his soul in another direction, to another plane, and he couldn't fight it. Whoa. He didn't want to fight it. For the first time in years, Kaido felt as if he knew exactly where he was meant to go. The power burst through him, coursing through every bone and vein. Kaido let it consume him entirely, and when he felt the tug against his soul once more, he answered the call as if it had been fate all along. Kaido's took a step forward and vanished from Kamigawa.
Did he get is this his planeswalker spark?
Yeah, so we've got a planeswalker. Surprise, Magic Story's got a planeswalker, I guess.
Very cool. Nice. Yeah. So So now he's like in the Shadow Realm and he's about to play a Blue Eyes White Dragon, right?
He's in the Blind Eternities.
That was last week,
I suppose, right now. Yeah, similar but different. Okay. You're thinking of the wrong card game, Jamie.
I'm thinking of the original, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Some fucker out there just had an aneurysm.
Yeah, happy with yourself. You just killed some neckbeard. Okay.
Yeah. Some guy just on a bus. His knuckles are white, like just holding the.
So not only was this Kaito's spark, Himoto, it turns out, the kami, is referred to as the kami of the spark, implying a planeswalker spark is kind of innately tied to this concept of merging with a spiritual power / kami. If our Magic the Gathering studies so far, I guess we're on probably 201 at this point, right?
Well, I hope so, because I've studied.
Yeah, you guys haven't always passed, I'll say. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we did 101 a couple times, I think.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that my teacher's university never said, so Jamie, what do you remember from last week? Could you just say in front of the class? So there was a thing, and he was at that thing.
To be fair, like, remembering stuff in school is a little bit easier, I find.
School was never this fun, at least, right?
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
So if our Magic the Gathering studies are up to date so far, it seems like the kami must be made of magic of the multiverse, as we've kind of looked at it before. If this kami giving him his spark, it somehow allows that. Whereas other ones, they're basically just tapping into the Blind Eternities, like other planeswalkers, when they get their spark. They're tapping into this source that kind of moves between planes, right? That we've talked about before. It all flows through Dominaria, which is kind of the nexus. Yes. It comes from a variety of different sources, like Zendikar is a very powerful source plane.
I like the lack of trauma in this one, where it's just like, my family was killed. Like, oh, I was abused. I was enslaved by the dark god Nicol Bolas. It's just like, I put a raccoon with big balls on my face.
I mean, there's not no trauma. Like, you did have parents dying.
He did it.
Parents dying in jail.
Yeah, unregulated science killed my parents and their own ambition.
Then I got taken in by a king, but I went to work for the
people. He kind of has like he kind of has like a Moses arc, like Moses living with Ramses, right, sort of thing.
Sure.
I haven't read the book, but
I almost said I see the movie The King of England, which is that's the COVID brain right there. But like, if you see like Prince of Egypt, that's like the plot of what I assume that part of the Bible.
I know it's Let My People Go, right? That's the scene you're referring to.
I've seen Atlantis,
the seven plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, that whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like the Muppets have done a cover of that.
I mean, almost guaranteed. Ma-ma-ma-na-na. So we've got our planeswalker. He steps into the Blind Eternities. He's planeswalking, baby. Hey, I'm planeswalking here. That should have been my catchphrase from the very get-go, honestly.
Boom da da boom da boom. You can tell by the way I walk. And he's just like Bee Gees walking through planes.
About my planeswalk. So Kaito, he wanders on and off for about 9 years. I also love the image of him just being like, he's like, oh, like his sister seeing this like revelatory, like, wow, the kami just jumped into this sex doll, no questions asked, all of its own volition. He's like, wait, let me see something. Puts on the mask and then vanishes from the plane. Like, how traumatic must that be for his sister? Who all the trauma that he's gone through, she also fucking went through, right? So she's just like, now also sees him completely disappear.
What do you think it sounded like? It was like, he's gone?
Yeah. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
I like to picture like a zoom.
Okay. All right.
Adios. He says as he jumps into the wormhole.
Or like right before he puts the raccoon onto his face, he's like, adios. And then, yeah. And then you get the pop.
So Kaito wanders on and off for about 9 years. He scours the multiverse for any sign of either the attacker that night at Iganjo Castle, or the Emperor's assailant, or, I mean, obviously the Emperor.
Chrome Arm guy, Johnny Silverhand, he's still looking for this.
Yeah, he's still looking for Johnny Silverhand. He hasn't lost his mission. That's why he was here in the forest in the first place, was to... He was trying to get Temeshi's tech to get on Satoru's good side so that Satoru would tell him where the guy with the chrome arm.
Right.
He does come back to Kamigawa periodically, so he does stop in and see his sister. And, you know, the trauma of him just vanishing that day in the forest is never brought up again, but I gotta imagine she went to therapy for it.
Like, she doesn't ask him about it? Like,
I mean, the story jumps ahead 9 years, essentially. Like,
oh, okay.
The written story, so it's just, like, 9 years later, they're kind of, like, whatever. And it does say, like, that wasn't his first time back since he left, so he has been back.
She got hooked on Soma or whatever.
Orgy Porgy, baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does come back periodically, but he is still looking for the Emperor or any clues thereof, which the man with the chrome arm seems to be. he's just keeps popping back to Kamigawa to be like, yo, the Emperor home?
He's looking for footprints, but it's just like two boots, as if like you set them down together because it's Johnny whatever, and he's just T-posing away all the time. All the footprints are exactly next
like ski grooves
dragged along
ski grooves through the blind eternities. So he makes no progress over the 9 years that he's gone. Kaito and Temeshi continue their friendship. They quickly become the best of friends. They're tight as a sweater. When he stops in, I guess he visits Temeshi pretty often. Temeshi's probably like sharing like, hey, here's some like new tech, you know what I mean? After all, Temeshi was right about, you know, Kaito's new pet Kami being like down with the robot suit. So like, he's like, yeah, you know, you're right. You're pretty smart. They're pretty happy, so you must be a good guy, kind of thing.
Yeah, the raccoon thing was pretty cool, but you can keep pictures on this one. It's just like hands me a USB. It's like crazy.
I mean, there is some mention of like updating the body. Like it is very cyberpunk and like, oh, I got a new model for your ghost robot. So here it is, you know, and the ghost robot will switch bodies, kind of thing.
Big titties cool. on it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I sent you guys a picture of Temeshi, who looks very cool. Am I right? I'll let you guys go ahead and describe him, but go take a crack.
There's a lot going on here.
I like that he has rabbit ears that are limp, like a old cloth that he rests over his giant horns.
He's got the sideways like Jew perm of the mom from Rugrats going on too.
Yeah.
And nice, then like bit it, honestly, he looks like somebody fused Lady Gaga with the mom from Rugrats.
Yeah, I mean, Lady Gaga is definitely the aesthetic. I can see that. The hairstyle is very the mom from Rugrats.
He's got like the
just like two cones, like two I guess like conch shells out on either side, basically.
Or like, or like cone shaped buns, basically.
Yeah, he rests his limp rabbit ears over, and he's got a lighthouse in his hand that he's holding underneath with one hand, and then kind of like doing like the ooh crystal ball motion with the other hand above it.
Yeah,
he's got in this art, which is by Scott M. Fisher. He has a very very futuristic piece of tech, which we'll foreshadow today. But we won't actually talk about it just yet.
Okay.
Kaito.
He's got sexy guy round anime glasses too.
Yeah.
Of blues. Everything's
lots blue. Of blues and whites. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, I mean, he's sky people, right? So why not? So this is Kaito's best friend, I guess. The Kaito is best friend with gender bending Lady Gaga.
cool.
So eventually, on one of Kaito's return visits to Kamigawa, he gets a tip from his sister, not about the Emperor, but about Temeshi himself. Really? It turns out Temeshi had been conducting illegal merge studies, as any good futurist would, to which Kaito kind of scoffs. He's like, sis, I'm not going to narc on my best friend, okay? I've told you before, I don't believe the Imperial way to do things is necessarily the right way to do things, so stop pushing me to give you information.
Let's just have some
the sky people.
Let's just have some turkey and finish this meal. We don't have to get into politics every time we get together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They do the wishbone. Aiko, Kaido's like, oh man, I wish I could find the Emperor. Aiko's like, I wish
the sky people would stop dumping sewage into the center.
So Aiko's like, no. I don't care about his illegal operations so much. It's not about what Temeshi is studying. It's not about the merge gates or anything like that. But who Temeshi is with. Temeshi was spotted visiting merge sites with a man from the Undercity, a man with a chrome arm.
Oh.
After all the years of friendship, Kaido is pretty gutted that Temeshi would withhold information like that. He definitely told Temeshi at this point, like, they're best friends. He definitely told him, like, yeah, I'm traveling the multiverse looking for the Emperor who disappeared, and probably told him about the man with the chrome arm. So, like, there's no way that Temeshi would not be like, oh, I never thought to mention to you that I've been hanging out with a guy with a chrome arm all these
honestly
years.
I didn't notice he wears a glove on there. It's like two fingers too. It's like driving gloves. You can just window in the back too.
Yeah. And it's a full chrome arm. Like he's got a tank top but a glove on, right?
Like, yeah, of course. It's just like, oof, I should cover this up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have limb blindness, you know. Face blindness.
But you don't just ask me what color somebody's arm skin is, okay? Like, you don't just ask that of somebody.
Yeah.
So he trusted Temeshi for a long time, but ultimately he did trust his sister more. So Kaito, straight to the point. Like, any person without a reliable father figure in their life decides to not be open about it, not be honest with his friend, but instead follow him around for weeks, gathering dirt on him. He's like, I guess he didn't leave Temeshi a line like, hey, I'm back from the multiverse, just like has been around Kamigawa, trailing him, trying to figure out, what's he up to? Who's he meeting? He's flying he's literally flying drones. That is like completely canon. He is flying drones into the bushes outside the fourth floor building and spying on his best friend.
His Tanuki's jumping up trying to catch it and everything.
Yeah, exactly. The big balls hold it down to him. Can't catch his drones.
Yeah, the Tanukis can't jump. It's like being strapped to a beanbag.
Yeah. So Kaito knew that Temeshi dealt with the Undercity from time to time, so it wasn't such a surprise that he'd been seen with somebody from the Undercity. Again, it's like hyper futuristic, this world. The fact that nobody has a chrome arm seems crazy to me, or nobody could be described as having a chrome arm seems crazy to me.
If it was a guy with a hook, maybe I could understand. Yeah. But a fucking chrome arm? Ugh, I'm gonna be fucking sick, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's one thing, like, I understand the person that he saw, knowing, like, oh, that's not someone from Kamigawa, he had this weird energy about him, like, there could have been something there. Like, I can see that from a storytelling point of view. But the fact that his sister is just like, I heard from somebody else that he was seen with this person, and him just being like, well, it's gotta be the guy, is something. It's a story. It will turn out to be the guy. We'll find out in a bit. But
oh, really?
I do think it's just kind of silly that he's just like, oh man, who else has a metal arm in this cyberpunk future where everyone has implants and we've got ghosts and robots and flying cars and all this stuff? Like,
petting his chrome rat that he hangs out with. Exactly. Metal arm.
Just peeping Toms through windows, cyberpunk battle theme playing.
it's like the Back to the Future scene where Marty's dad is in the tree George with the binoculars, McFly, just like puts on the binoculars and you get the bada ba down.
So Kaito knew that Temeshi dealt with the Undercity from time to time. After all, there was illegal tech that futurists would still want to get their hands on. So when he followed him making back alley deals, there wasn't anything too incriminating to it. Like, he sees him, he's like, oh yeah, I'll take this insulin,
cure for radiation poisoning that they had that his parents needed.
Handy cure for radiation poisoning for sale from a hawker. I'll take a Wayfair wardrobe if you don't mind, like all the
11 grand and it's named Eleanor seems reasonable.
Yeah. So he's just like following him to the on a couple trips to the Undercity. His lab is in the Sky City there, so he's spending a lot of time up there. It's never clear. Like, people do visit the Flying City. Like, non-Moonfolk people do visit the Flying City. For a while, it was, like, closed to all non-Moonfolk. Back in, like, the old, like, the first Kamigawa episode, like, people didn't go there. These days, it is open. They do have, like, their Imperial Palace where, like, non-Moonfolk are not allowed. But I don't know. I guess they probably use, like, a cable car or something, which, like, just feels, like, inconvenient if he's just, like, flying up to the city and you're trying to trail him. Like, just like, wait, hold that train, please. And you're just like, yeah. waiting on the gondola for it to get all the way up. But
I imagined his peeping Tom drone, like, just like buzzing up, like, to the Flying City, just like kind of hovering there off balance because it's just covered in sewage. Just,
yeah.
Like,
exactly, yeah. He waits for Tameshi to leave one day and breaks into Tameshi's compound. He doesn't find much beyond a single coded message and a data chip containing the blueprints of a strange device, which Jamie alluded to earlier.
Is it the chrome arm?
The message, yeah, it's just a chrome arm in a drawer.
Yeah. what could this be?
Yeah. The message asked simply to meet in the Undercity, didn't give any more info than that. The blueprint was for a small device, thin and square, with wiry arms made of glowing blue light. So I posted a picture, art by Campbell White again, which you guys can take a moment to describe. It is what Tameshi had been holding last picture as well, but yeah. a little higher res this one.
It's used to...
No,
and I'm a wild guess. It's used to go across planes.
That's a guess.
It's a guess. okay. I thought it'd be right.
I'll give you that.
It looks like a little hut that kind of has a crescent moon on the top of it of blue, and then it like has a bunch of little wires that come off the bottom that looks like it goes into a hand or something. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll you know, kind of tease it this episode. It is an illegal bio enhancement, essentially. This is just the blueprints for it. He doesn't actually find this chip. He just finds the blueprints to chip.
Oh, okay.
It's the penis enlargement that actually works.
Yeah.
It's cyberpunk theme. Boom, boom, bam. Yeah.
You know, I just got a new camera, which is not the most impressive thing on the planet. So we can maybe do video content in a year and a half whenever we get our shit together. I would love a soundboard.
Yeah, that would be fun. That's
very gettable. Very gettable.
Yeah.
The only thing, we'll talk shop later. But I know how to make it work on my side. I don't know how to make you guys hear it too, but that we can fix. That we can fix.
I think I would like that even more. Where Jamie just like punches in a laugh track, and it just kills himself laughing, just like just loving it. And Ethan and I are on the other side here.
Yeah, and you'd be talking over it because you don't know what's happening at the same time. And yeah
exactly.
So. Kaito follows him and finds himself at an uncanny and unsettling laboratory in the Undercity. So again, he had a coded message that said, meet me in the Undercity, presumably at this place. It specifically says, like, Moonfolk don't go to the Undercity all that often. They got a floating city that shits on people. Why would they ever come down here where all the shit lands?
Yeah,
exactly. meet me on my favorite umbrella. We'll stay dry, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it does say, like, he goes down and is just like, he greases the right hands. It's like, hey, you seen a Moonfolk? And it's like, yeah, I did see one. He went that away.
He went right past that sign that said, no Moonfolk, no DDs. And it's of course.
they end up at this like warehouse, and Kaito, you know, breaks in. He sends the Tanuki out to do some scouting. He sends some of his drones out to do some scouting. He sneaks in. And he finds himself in this lab, very uncanny, very unsettling. He finds work unlike anything he's seen on Kamigawa, or even probably hasn't seen anything really like it on any other plane that he's visited either. I got another quote for you. Glowing beakers were contorted around one another like a maze of glass. Some of them bubbled with neon liquid and others sparked with energy. Surgical instruments littered the surface. There were oddly shaped knives that looked like wide triangles and others that were thin as twigs. Smaller beakers filled with strange metallic-hued serums were laid out on a work table. and fragments of metal and frayed wires surrounded each other like puzzle pieces that didn't quite fit.
Ooh.
So he's like kind of puzzling this, you know, what he's like looking at here. He's like, what's all this, beaker? Well, what's all this? What is all this? You know, beaker's filled with stuff. I don't get it.
Cause of course, like basic cybernetics in this futuristic city are beyond all comprehension. So like, yeah, of course around Kamigawa, they have a bunch of empty glass vessels. So yeah. Beakers with liquid? No. And like, this is illegal. Yeah. The anti-futurists have prevented certain things like using cups.
So he's like kind of studying this when he hears like a voice bark out some order. That's something along the lines of like, oh, we're done with these samples. Dispose of them. The biomasses are no longer necessary. And then he kind of hears this like shuffling sound, and he gets a glimpse of chrome arm with terrible claws at the end of it.
Whoa.
But it is unlike the arm on the man that he had seen before. It was almost nothing like the man that he had seen that night in Iganjo Castle. Still hiding, he spots a terrible creature. Made entirely of chrome with terrible claws and a face not unlike a bird. It wasn't the man from Iganjo, but was something else entirely.
It's a tin man from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Oil can!
Is that what this thing is saying?
Oh, God. Yeah. No, okay, it's much more grotesque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, because the kind of the twisted laboratory and the horrible experiments and the beakers filled with unknown fluids, I got a little bit of Phyrexia vibes.
So
and that thing certainly looks like maybe there's not so much like exposed meat, but it looks a little Phyrexian.
It is absolutely Phyrexian, and if you remember, the Phyrexians like weren't meat necessarily. They came from like the all metal plane Argentum, which they had corrupted, right? Like they are machines, machines that repurpose meat. So yes, this is a Phyrexian, which has never been seen on this plane before. We're not going to talk too much about the Phyrexians on this episode, but we will get into their role to play in all this sometime soon. So this thing, this Phyrexian, is walking around and barking orders at these like henchmen, just goons who are like, yeah, well, boss told us to come work for this horrible monstrosity. I guess we got to do it, huh?
Man, to hear this thing bark orders, like when it hit its hard syllables and stuff, it's not going to be like what it sounds like when we talk with our soft meat mouths.
He doesn't have lips.
Yeah, he's got like a metal toothy and then like sort of lips, but they're like big jutting out metal. It would probably be a lot of, it would sound like a couple of Tanuki's balls knocking together, if I'll be honest.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
It sounds like a Newton scrotum in motion.
Yeah. Less skin, yeah. All cradle.
So the henchmen who are working for him, for it, I guess, some of them emerge. They're carrying a box between them that Kaido's like, oh, that looks like it almost fit a weapon.
Oh, shit. Hang on a second. Is the chrome arm guy Karn?
No.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's a guess, but
it's not
a Karn.
Johnny?
Johnny come lightly.
Is it a Johnny? It's not a Johnny? Elspeth?
It's not Elspeth.
No, just like with the Phyrexians and then like the unknown technology from outside, because of course we've only got the one planeswalker for the first time. The now with the introduction of other planes and a Phyrexian, is just like, oh, I know Karn has like had some bad times and is like a chrome golem too. Mm-hmm. So he would be an unrecognized technology as well within the story.
He would be. Absolutely, absolutely. But he was full chrome, not just chrome arm. He was chrome all over. Oh. Old Baldy.
Is it Nico Bolas?
It's not Nico Bolas. The man is not Nico Bolas, but he may be an agent Bolas.
Oh.
So as the henchmen are leaving, they've got this box that Kaito is like, oh, that looks about the right size for some kind of weapon. But as they're carrying it, a scream cries out from inside the box. A scream not unlike a Kami's. They're answering to the strange metallic creature.
Oh, no.
So they load this thing into the van. Kaito's like kind of frozen on the spot, doesn't know what to do. The henchmen set fire to the building. They basically, like, describes one of them, like, throws a baseball at all the vials, all the beakers, all those vials and beakers that we described before, and they just, like, erupt in gouts of flame.
Okay.
And they peel off into the night. Kaido's kind of there, like, do I chase them? And he's like, no, there's evidence here. He runs into the burning building, gonna try and save whatever evidence he can. He doesn't find too much evidence. What he finds instead is a dying Temeshi, clawed through his torso by what looked like metal claws. Oh. Kaito grabs his friend, tries to save him, but quickly realizes he's not able to move him without killing him outright. They catch up, you know, talk about the weather a bit. Temeshi apologizes for keeping secrets from his friend. With his dying breath, Temeshi gives Kaito just a name, Tezzeret.
I remember that name. That sounds familiar. You've said that before.
I think I told you guys in the last episode, I was like, you guys have heard the name before. I've said I would probably do an episode on him, but we've never, like, fully talked about him, I guess.
Right.
So I'm actually debating. I'm planning a Tezzeret episode pretty live now, and it might be my next episode rather than Neon Dynasty 3. I might catch us up on Tezzeret, who he is, what his motivators are, and bring us up to this point, which might lead me into a five-parter, because he's got way more backstory than Kaito, I'll give you that, because he's been one of the main antagonists. He is an agent of Nicol Bolas. He's been one of the main antagonists of the Magic story for a long time, basically this whole second arc now, where it was Yawgmoth for a long time, then became Nicol Bolas like 10 years ago, basically. Probably around then. But So I don't know. If you guys want to hear a Tezzeret-specific episode, then crunch at us, let us know, send us an email, or hop into the Discord and just tell us there. Tezzeret-specific episodes also, which I will probably just end up getting carried away and doing no matter what. Whether or not that comes before the resolution of Kamigawa or not, I'll try and determine. You know, I feel like it'll have more impact if you guys kind of know who Tezzeret is.
I just want to know more about this chrome-armed freak.
The chrome-armed freak.
Yeah, we haven't. You gotta at least give us that. You gotta give us some closure there. The magic guy, the power.
Yeah, it's Tezzeret.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure it's Tezzeret.
Oh, it is him.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't explicit there, but
okay, because I thought when you said the chrome arm was different. It was, because that was the...
Yeah, so it was. The creature, the Phyrexian, which I almost didn't show you guys that picture, because I was like, Pete will recognize this as Phyrexian. I think he's drawn enough of them at this point for the artwork for these episodes. But I was like, honestly, that's like a good teaser as well. Tezzeret's here working for Nicol Bolas, and the Phyrexians are here for some reason.
Okay.
And, you know, Temeshi came here. We thought the lead was he's coming here to meet Tezzeret. You know, who, again, I mentioned on last week's episode, like, people would recognize the man with the metal arm as Tezzeret, probably, like, people who follow, you know, magic, I guess.
Okay.
Not even the magic stories, but if you've seen his card art, like, he has a metal arm, basically.
Okay.
And, like, purple energy is often, like, evil purple, I guess is the best way to describe it, like, evil pink or evil purple. It's kind of his energy aura. So, like, the whole, you know, switcheroo was, like, you get here, and it's actually a Phyrexian, and you're like, well, are the Phyrexians working with Nicol Bolas and Tezzeret? But there's no sign of Tezzeret here. So, Temeshi was meeting the Phyrexians as well. More on that next week, as well as more on the reality chip, that strange device which Temeshi had designed. What he was designing it for, huh? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Did have fun writing it. I'm sorry if it was a little disjointed. I was high on COVID while I was writing it, so
it was great. You know, it was great.
Mainline in that. So
I blame my listening skills for not getting that ending for you. It was great.
I've been your host, Ethan Palmer. If you want to get in touch with us, I've said it a few times, send us an email. We love to do mailbags every now and then. And you can also hop into the Discord and chat with us there. You can jump into voice chat with Pete whenever he's drawing sometimes. Sometimes we'll do community gaming stuff. We got, you know, a Minecraft server. Lots of other people play other games. Handolo was talking about setting up an Ark survival server.
They've already got one. Yeah.
I can't keep up. The Discord pops off so much. It's hard to keep track of everything, but everyone in there is fantastic and friendly and nice. You know, so if you want to get in touch with us, that's a great way to do it. Otherwise, if you're a little shy and you don't feel like joining another Discord server, I totally get it. Send us an email. Would you, bozo? Come on. Pete, what's going on in art world? What's going on in the arts these days, huh?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a good question. At Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, if you want to check out the title cards, you can reach out directly as well. Every once in a while, we get a couple of DMs. I try and answer as quickly as I can. Check out Squared Idea. The reason that we went to Comic-Con, had so much fun, and Ethan and I both got fucking COVID, is because of Squared Idea. I'm wearing the shirt right now. They will
like
be publishing.
Libby.
Exactly. They'll be publishing my comic as soon as it's done. I got a lot of work done. I'm about a quarter of the way through, line work wise, now that I've finished my vacation. I'm doing good work. I gotta say, I'm very excited. Can't wait to lose my job and just work on this and just work on this full time. But yeah, check out Squared Idea for a lot of the work that some of my colleagues there do as well. And then I'm feeling the pressure. I know people want to like see what the fuck we're working on, but we'll have to see. But yeah, good people, good content, and they did us a big favor with bringing us to Comic-Con for that whole thing. That was very cool. Yeah.
Coming soon to a comic store near you. Jamie, what about you? How's your comic book coming?
That's pretty good. I just kind of I set the bar lower, which is a pretty good business strategy.
Smart move.
One panel, and the line work's done. I just got to work on my backgrounds, but backgrounds are tough, right, Pete?
Backgrounds suck.
So mine's gonna be ready.
Like, what do you draw? What happens behind people? I don't know. Okay, I don't know what happens behind them.
Frick. What do we do with their head? What do we do with people's hands, feet, and what happens behind them is it's always the question.
Yeah, I'm
torsos easy. Easy. I love torsos. I love drawing torsos. Let me tell you, favorite part to draw.
Torsos with a frowny face on it is what you can expect out of my book, boys.
I'll be done probably in the next couple days, but I'm going to save it and wait till Pete's going to release his, and I'll try and muddy the waters and release mine at the exact same time.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's all of our plans, I think, is to make as much noise as possible. I'm planning I probably shouldn't say it, but... I'm planning an assassination of a high-ranking member of government around the same time, so it gets lost in the news. Also, you know.
Oh no, you're gonna kill John Pistol Shrimp? It's like every time you Google Pistol Shrimp,
fuck up the SEO completely. I like the idea that we're just like setting up this, which I think some companies do. Especially media companies, like where we are like setting up our own competition just to compete against ourselves, basically. Well, like EA did with like Battlefield and Titanfall, where they've just got like two products butting heads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to support the show and all the things that we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Head on over there. We have a couple different tiers that you can check out. We got bonus content, which we recorded before this episode. We've got, you can get my script with all the visual cues. I was like, audio visual. I was like, nah, you got to drop the visual, idiot.
If you read out loud, I mean, come on.
We did describe them out loud. So I guess they are audio visual cues. Those are all included in the script, which you guys will have access to join the Patreon. We do the loser titles, which is a fun game, which happens last night for this episode. But here we are recording on a Tuesday.
COVID be COVID, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, COVID do be COVID as it is, you know?
I'd like to let the listeners know I was ready yesterday, so.
He was ready, dude. Homeboy texted me a picture of a torso frowning when I said I couldn't record last night, so.
Jamie always with the fucking negging, eh? Yeah. It's like, ooh, I got COVID months ago, fuckers. Yeah.
And I showed up on time, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember.
I don't know if you you definitely did show up on time, but I don't know if you were hosting an episode when you were
probably not. Probably not.
No. So that's my excuse, and I'm fucking sticking to it. I don't know what the fuck I tell you. If you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have, of course, Lore Boys Prime, which some people do call the original Patreon. People call it that. Look it up. Pistol Shrimp assassinated in broad daylight, and you'll get the origin of Lore Boys Prime. Mr. Pistol Shrimp assassinated in broad daylight.
And he's what's his jurisdiction? I think he looks over the frontier or something like that, right?
Yeah, of course. It's a small town, Western Canada.
Yeah,
man, we are making this so much more complicated than we need to, Jamie. I just realized that we. Inside the episode title, so just every episode could be titled like the Black Frontier, the Pistol Shrimp. Yeah. And we'll get more hits than Squirt Idea for sure. On Google,
and so. Dude, I edit. I just cut out all this bullshit of him talking about his publisher.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to support us via Lord of Voice Prime, of course, we do need your help. We need you guys to get Peter off the front page. We need your guys' help just setting up fake Pistol Shrimps, basically, and making sure that whoever Googles a Pistol Shrimp gets either a picture of Mr. Pistol Shrimp, which please submit your drawings of Mr. Pistol Shrimp so Jamie can include them in his comic. to our email, contact at lordvoice.com, and just spam them all over. Spam them on Facebook pages. Spam them to your grandma. Get grandma to forward.
Let's get a picture of, I don't even know what, but we can say upvote this and call it Peter O'Donohue on Reddit, like a picture of a ham or something. So every time you search Peter O'Donohue, it's just a picture of a ham.
Look, if the internet can get Google to give you just pictures of scorpions by searching Snip Snap Doggos enough times, we can do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. This is a grassroots movement. This is it's what Bernie Sanders stands for. Yeah.
Elden Ring dog, you get a turtle.
Yep. 2012, you get that guy taking his pants off in broad daylight.
Yeah. Exactly. Coney, never forget. I think that constitutes a lore
boy. Lore
boy. So they're like, well, this is a village, let's attack. And then they spawn there. They end up stepping into the hole with all the water. They fall down 26, and then it's just exactly one hit to kill them.
Wow. Ethan got really into Minecraft. It's like, they did say that COVID makes you lose your sense of taste, so I get it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.